Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the SNC-Lavalin Q1 2012 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be provided at that time. If anyone has any difficulties during the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Thursday, May 3rd, 2012, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to our host, Mr. Denis Jasmin, Vice President of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to SNC-Lavalin's first quarter 2012 conference call. With us today are Ian Bourne, Vice Chairman and Interim Chief Executive Officer, and Gilles Laramé, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Our earnings announcement was released this morning, and we have posted a slide presentation on our website, which we will refer to during our call. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that, as detailed on slide three, certain statements or comments made during today's call and slide presentation may be forward-looking. Such statements or comments represent management's best judgment and expectation as of today's date, are subject to certain risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, which are described on slide number three and cannot be guaranteed. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ian Bourne.
Thank you, Denis. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Before I turn the call over to Gilles, who will explain the results in detail, let me give you some information about where the company stands as of today. As you've seen from this morning's release of our first quarter 2012 results, net income was $67 million compared to $76 million for the first quarter of 2011. There were some differences in the makeup of sales, and remember that last year our packages margins were at 13%, well above our target range of 7 to 10%, and of course above this year's 10% as well. We had lower contributions in operations and maintenance, hydrocarbons and chemicals, other industries and infrastructure and environment, partially offset by better contributions from mining and metallurgy and power segments. As we said in our press release, we are maintaining our 2012 outlook that net income will be in line with the full year 2011 net income while targeting an improvement over last year. The company's financial position remains strong with cash totaling $1.1 billion. Importantly, our order backlog continues to grow with $2.1 billion of new bookings in the quarter, bringing our current backlog to $10.5 billion. Notable additions in the quarter were the EPCM contract for the Atmospheric Emissions Reduction Project in Mining and Metallurgy and the Darlington Retube and Feeder Replacement Project in the power sector. We were also named the preferred bidder for the Highway 407 extension here in Toronto and for a contract to extend and expand and modernize Saint-Justine Children's Hospital in Montreal. I should note that neither project is included in our backlog yet. Our overall proposal activities remain strong, and we are actively bidding in all our markets and segments. Over the past 6 weeks, I've already spoken to a number of clients, partners, and suppliers, and I'm glad to report that the level of support is strong. I've also been speaking with employees. Their commitment is very impressive, and I'm reassured that they are focused on completing their projects and winning new ones. As you know, there's been significant negative press recently regarding SNC-Lavalin and certain former employees. As much as we would like to respond in detail, I hope you will appreciate that there are ongoing investigations and we must ensure that they are not compromised. I can say this, however. We are committed to doing the right thing, making the adjustments we need to make, and then turning the page so we can move forward. I'm grateful to all those who are giving us the chance to prove ourselves in a challenging time. Let me now update you on a few other issues. We understand that investigations by various authorities are ongoing. As announced in March and April of this year, the company has provided information and documentation to the appropriate authorities and is cooperating on all matters, including the search warrant executed by the RCMP on April 13th. Other than the World Bank's temporary suspension of one of our subsidiaries from the right to bid on new World Bank projects pending the conclusion of their investigation and a final decision, no charges have been brought or sanctions imposed against the company. It is not currently possible to predict the outcomes of these investigations or whether any penalties or other sanctions may be imposed on the company in conjunction with them, including whether charges or sanctions could be brought against us in connection with possible violations of laws or contracts. Other investigations of the company by these or other authorities may be initiated, or the scope of existing investigations may broaden. As for the recommendations of the Audit Committee, the Board of Directors adopted the recommendations for remedial measures resulting from our independent review. These recommendations are directed at reinforcing standards of conduct, strengthening and improving internal controls and processes, and reviewing the compliance environment. Management had identified and in certain instances begun to implement a number of measures to address the material weaknesses and to continue to strengthen the company's financial controls and procedures. Management has a plan and a timetable for the implementation of all these measures, and the board is monitoring their implementation. This process has been initiated, and as explained in our MD&A, progress is being made on a number of these recommendations. At our board meeting this morning, for example, we approved an updated code of ethics, which will be posted on our website and on SEDAR. As for the CEO search, it has now been ongoing for about a month. We are satisfied with progress to date. We expect the exercise to take at least 3 months. It is impossible at this point to say exactly how long it will take, but we can confirm that we are on track and we are where we expected to be at this stage. We will obviously inform you as new developments occur. To conclude and repeat what I said on our March 26th conference call, my role as interim CEO is to stabilize the organization, both internally and externally, until a new CEO is in place. In addition to speaking to investors and clients about the progress we're making, I'm spending my time focusing on ensuring that we are executing projects to the best of our ability and that new business opportunities are being actively pursued. Our talented leadership team is committed to working together to ensure that we continue to deliver the high-quality projects and win new mandates, the top priority of the company. While I recognize the significance of our current challenges, I'm enthusiastic about SNC-Lavalin's future. And for those of you who heard my comments at the annual meeting this morning, I hope that came through loud and clear. Let me now turn the conference over to Gilles Armé to go through the financial results in a bit more detail. Gilles?
Thank you, Ian. We go right away on to slide number 5. As discussed, as mentioned by Ian, our net income attributable to SNC-Lavalin shareholder went from $76 million to $67 million, and the main reduction relates to the net income excluding ICI, where we were at $52 million in the first quarter of 2011 compared to now to $42 million. If we turn to the slide number 6, we can see that our total revenue went up by 9% to be standing at $1.8 billion. And more importantly is to mention that our services activities went up by 39%. Our gross margin, we'd like to really take a second on that, as it passed from $276 million to $297 million. The impact of higher revenue services with about the same type of gross margin to revenue ratio impacted positively the gross margin. On the other side, as mentioned by Ian, our package activities were in a quarter at 13% of gross margin to revenue compared to this year at about 10%, which is in line with our target, as Ian mentioned, about 7 to 10%. The other impact was on the operation and maintenance side, our margin were lower, mainly due to a lower contribution to certain projects. The selling and general and administrative expenses increased from $153 million to $183 million, mainly explained by $25 million from business acquired after the first quarter of 2011, and also from $10.4 million related to the investigation and related matters and to the departure package of our former CEO. And as we had pointed out before, we're keeping track and highlighting these expenses in our public disclosure. The net financial expenses increased mainly due to the continued growth of activities within the capital expenditure of AltaLink. overall. So again, 76 million to, compared to 67 million. Turning to slide number 7, if we go by operating segment, the infrastructure and environment having about the same revenue. However, in 2012, we had more general and administrative expenses, which was partly offset by higher gross margin to revenue in Q1 of 2012. As you may remember, 2011 performance included the impact of the Libyan events in that first quarter of 2011. Our power sector doing very well as the revenue for services and packages are increasing and therefore impacting favorably our operating income. However, not as much as the growth of our operating our revenue, because you may remember our operating income in 2011 included favorable reforecast and of certain projects in 2011. Mining metallurgy, as we were expecting higher revenue and therefore leading to higher operating income. Hydrocarbons and chemicals, we had lower revenue as our packages activities have been going lower and therefore resulting into a lower operating income. Other industry, revenue were about the same. However, the gross margin to revenue ratio in 2011 was higher than 2012. Our operation and maintenance revenue were down, and as well as I was pointing out into our gross margin effect, the gross margin to revenue were lower on certain projects, resulting into 18 million of operating income in 2011 compared to 9 million in 2012. And our ICI activities among about in line with 2011. Moving to our financial position on slide 8, and again, important to mention, our cash and cash equivalent position stand at 1.1 billion. Our free old cash, as we had indicated into our MD&A, was standing at 650 million, compared to year end at 750 million, mainly due to a reduced amount of cash, but also the fact that we, from operation, and also the fact that we've been investing continuously into the capital expenditure growth of AltaLink. And in talking about cash flow, slide number 9, you can see that our operating activities were at 42 million compared to 120 million in the first quarter of 2011. And really, in 2012, we had 76 million that was unfavorable, which was a change in net change in non-cash working capital that affected the first 3 months. And you may remember we had a very favorable net change non-cash working capital throughout 2011. The investing activities with 239 million, 183 million of that relates to AltaLink capital expenditure. And to that effect, in the financing activities, 84 million related to the increase of long-term debt of AltaLink. So which brought those elements brought our cash position at 1.1 billion. Going to page 10, and again, something we've mentioned previously, the importance of our concession into our value of our stock, again, based on a transaction that occurred in the past and on book value for the others, we come with a $22 per share of SNC-Lavalin on those estimated value. Turning to slide number 11, our revenue backlog by activities went up from 10 billion to 10.5 billion with most notable increase in services increasing by 7% and as well for operation and maintenance increasing by 7% as well. If we turn to slide number 12, where those changes came from in an increase in terms of backlog, you can see that our mining and metallurgy services backlog went at year-end from 646 million to 756 million. And on the power side, we went from a package backlog of 1.6 billion to a 2 billion package backlog at the end of March. Turning to slide 13, these are our PE assuming or considering a share price of 38.52 cents and taking out all of our concession activities, which are based on the market value or book value, as pointed out previously, and of our free of our $650 million of freehold cash. So this concludes my segment of presentation, and we are now open for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now conduct a question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you're using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please. Your first question comes from Anthony Zika from Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Sheila, can you give us some more color on whether there have been any material cancellations or completions of contracts or deferrals in the hydrocarbon chemical segment? And if we look at the segment backlog and revenues are down year over year, but yet the operating margins have improved over Q4.
When the Sorry, Tony.
Yeah, no, that's fine, Jeff.
I think nothing came to our attention of any cancellation of, let's say, a backlog project for which we would have debooked. And in terms of, you know, new project going forward, we've been signing some projects, so nothing there. And operating income, I would say it's in line pretty much with the percentage that we had in Q1 of 2011.
With reference to O&M segment, has there been any change in the question of timing of some of the contracts?
No, not to our knowledge. As you can see, we have increased our O&M backlog at compared to December, but in terms of timing, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, and then last question for Ian. Significant engineering and construction opportunities that are emerging in the Middle East, North Africa, and with the Gulf states, they're expected to spend somewhere around $290 billion over the next few years. Can you discuss expectations on winning projects in
our
the region and strategy that you have in place to take advantage of this boom?
Well, our expectations are that we're going to win our fair share and we're going to be as active as we can be on the bidding process, you know, based on the various sectors and segments that are involved. I think it's fair to say that, you know, that we're actively looking at how to get back into Libya, for example, on the basis that the government there obviously has a whole bunch of projects that were in progress that ended up getting disrupted, and particularly some of the oil and gas related stuff and some of the irrigation stuff and the Benghazi airport. I mean, those are important projects, and so we're working with a number of people to try and get ourselves, you know, re-engaged in those projects. And for the rest of them, it's, you know, sort of this business as usual in the sense of, you know, the kinds of people like Andy McIntosh who are chasing things in the hydrocarbon sector and Patrick who's charging after things in the power sector, you know, we are sort of driving ahead.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony.
Ron, are you there?
Your next question comes from Sarah O'Brien from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the nature and scope of the internal investigation into SNC's agency policy? And this is more sort of addressed to the board. I just wondered if there have been any findings since your March report, and should we expect some internal reporting on findings, or is it really up to the authorities at this point?
Sarah, it's up to the extent there's been any illegal activities or any of those sorts of things, that's up to the authorities. To the extent that, you know, we are driving along with our process of making sure that the process for hiring, recruiting, signing up new agents and making sure that we're happy with the existing agents, that's work that's ongoing, and there's no basis on which we would kind of publish the output of that.
Are you going backwards to investigate, or is that all finished at the board level at this point?
We're not going backwards in the sense that, you know, we've done, particularly on those couple of contracts, we've done as much as we could do, and that's why we turned it over to the authorities. To the extent that we are looking at, to the extent that we are looking at our existing network of agents, I guess in a manner of speaking, you can say that's looking backwards because we want to, you know, we want to make sure that they all pass the tests that we're putting in place for new ones as well. But I, you know, we're not going back and looking at a whole bunch of old contracts if that's what you're kind of looking for.
No, exactly. Okay, and then there was a comment at the AGM that we should expect follow-on effects from the investigation. Just wondered if that, again, is related to any new findings that have surfaced internally, or is it just a comment based on the fact that there's external investigations going on?
It's the latter, Sarah. I mean, it's just the reality of these police investigations mean that they're going to be some, you know, they're going to find some other stuff, at least we hope they find some other stuff, you know, to the extent that they could go looking in places that we couldn't look. And I would be, quite frankly, particularly based on the recent arrest of Riyad Ben Ait, I'd be quite surprised if there weren't some more things that that they surfaced through those investigations.
Okay, and maybe just on just wondered if the board is maintaining. Remember, on the last call, there was a comment that, you know, the belief was that the $56 million in payments that were investigated were not related to Libya. Is that still the board's position?
That is the board's position.
Okay, and then maybe just one for Gilles on the results. Gilles, Q1 backlog was up nicely, but the revenues quarter over quarter were actually down 15%. Just wondering, and that's across almost all segments, just wondered what if there's any particular reason for that, or is it some kind of seasonal flow that, that we should expect?
When you say revenue were down, what do you mean by that? I don't know if I understand, Sarah, completely the question.
The revenues for engineering and construction were $1.7 billion in Q1 versus in Q4 F12 around $2 billion.
Oh, it's again, it's I don't think you could conclude on that necessarily, Sarah. I think it's also, you know, I don't think you could project necessarily taking, for example, last quarter and projecting last quarter of 2004 and projecting by four. Everything has to do also with certain projects are winding down, as you can, as you've seen on the package side, the revenue from hydrocarbons and chemical were down, and on the other hand, power were up. So I don't think you could put a correlation, direct correlation with that.
Okay, and just going back to your comments last quarter again, I think you talked about maybe some slowing of the service backlog going into revenue, but not materially. Is that still true? Because we do see as a percentage of backlog, it's actually dropped in Q1 relative to the previous quarters.
You're talking about services backlog now.
Right.
So services backlog, when we look at year at year-end at $2.2 billion, now it stands at $2.4 billion at the end of March. So I don't know if I understand.
I guess as a percent, the flow through into revenue seems to be a little bit slower than it has been in previous quarters, and I wonder if that trend should continue.
Again, we would not necessarily comment about that, but certainly when we're looking at a backlog that is increasing in services, it's favorable for months to come.
Okay.
And I must say that there is, in particular in the mining metallurgy, still some good prospect out there for us.
Okay, great. I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from Michael Tupholme from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good afternoon. First question is related to the investigation costs you incurred in the first quarter. Are there going to be any other such costs? And I don't know what the correct term is, if investigation is the right word, but other such costs like that going on through the rest of the year. It was suggested at the AGM that you're working with some consultants or advisors. So, any other unusual costs like that through the rest of the year?
Yeah, it's a possibility that there will be. We are working on certain elements, and therefore they could be. So, I think what we have recorded up to now, it's the services that went on up to March 31st, and plus the severance package, but there could be some more to come. And but at this stage, we're not in a position to estimate or provide, let's say, a forecast of that.
Michael, it's Ian. I think it was in my comments that I referenced that we were using some, external help to just, get the best practices on some of these compliance items and so forth. I personally wouldn't characterize those as unusual costs around the investigation as much as I would put them as just general SG&A kinds of costs that we incur. I think what Jill is going to be talking to from quarter to quarter are specific investigation-related costs. For example, this time those are the costs that we've incurred to date on the investigations, and as he said, plus the severance package. But on a go-forward basis, to the extent there are more investigations and/or legal work to be done to support some of the activities, they would be reflected in that. But ongoing improvements to the way we run the business, I would treat as just kind of ongoing SG&A type costs.
Okay, that's fair. On the investigation side, though, I appreciate that things may come up that could require you to spend some money, but is there anything ongoing right now that you do have line of sight on that you can help us understand what's happening?
I would say, to the extent there's work going on, I would say it's not a material number.
Okay. Moving over to the actual segments and the operations, I guess it was suggested when you originally introduced your guidance that I&E and H&C were the areas of relative weakness in 12, and that M&M and Power would be, in turn, the areas of relative strength. Looking at the margin in the M&M segment, 5.7% operating income margin in the first quarter, seems low relative to where you've historically been. Now, I recognize that there may be a little bit of flow-through of some of the one-time costs hitting that, but aside from that, can you talk a little bit about the margin, what happened there in this quarter, and how do we think about that possibly getting back to closer to the historical levels?
If you look, Michael, there is a split of services and packages within the M&M. So contrary to 2011, whereby we had almost no package revenue. So for sure it has an impact on the operating income of 2012. Moreover, as I was pointing out, the overall margin, I would say, in the first quarter for services was 24%. And in that regards, for sure, mining metallurgy is in that category also, so which provides a bit of a lower percentage. So two type of explanation to that, being more packages and also lower kind of than maybe previously reported gross margin to revenue. However, that being said, the 2011 was very low at 0.8% of operating income to revenue, and you may recall we had an additional cost on one given project in that the first quarter of 2011 in that segment.
So I understand the mix issue, but the second item you're pointing out, is that, are you suggesting that there was some difficulties on a particular project in the quarter that led to a lower gross margin to revenue ratio?
No. You may recall that last year we finished out the year on the service at 24.3.
Right.
And it's a bit of that continuation so far in the first quarter of 2012 we saw being more in the 24, being lower than our traditional 25 to 29%.
And is that the mix, again, mix issues aside, this lower 24% number, is that what we should look for going forward over the next several quarters, or do you have some visibility on that climbing back up more towards the traditional level?
At this stage, I would guide you to base it on last year, and it's more in the range of being lower than being higher in the 25 to 29. So it's more trending towards last year than the 25 to 29.
Okay. And I don't know if this was sort of maybe an extension of what Tony was asking, but on the O&M side, revenues were down year over year, roughly $40 million, and in addition to that, the margins were weak. Is there anything unusual going on in that segment that would help explain both the lower revenues and the weaker margins?
There were one given contract that got to have less activities and also less margin, but not to be, let's say, problematic, and not for one to, let's say, have, let's say, put in question the performance that the O&M did in 2011, not to be able to reach that operating income in 2012. But for sure, it's a slow start, but we are optimistic in the upcoming three quarters.
Okay. And then I guess separate line of questioning. My understanding that SNC has many relationships with clients that go back a long way, it was mentioned today in your AGM that much of your business is with repeat clients. Can you provide some color around that? How much of your business would you say, you know, I know it bounces around, but typically, how much of that's with repeat clients?
Well, to the extent we're trying to grow new business, we hope that declines and that the backlog grows. But, you know, it's a very significant number, but it's not a percentage that we really want to get into and start tracking.
Okay. And then, again, this was touched on at the start in the prepared remarks, but can you talk about employee morale and whether or not you're seeing any turnover or competitors knocking at the door? Have you seen many employees leave the company at this point?
Competitors are knocking at the door, and we have not seen a lot of exodus of employees. It's one of the things that we're really working hard at. I mean, we're trying to be as open and transparent as we possibly can, and to the extent people have questions, we're doing our darndest to give them answers. And to the extent that they're worried about stuff, we're trying to, you know, help them get over that, because we want them to concentrate on doing the business and leave a lot of the corporate reputation issues to a few of us at the corporate level to drive. And to the extent, and I think I may have mentioned this comment before, but to the extent that we can successfully put some, you know, tightened procedures in place, it is not intended to make the company so bureaucratic that we can't get stuff done. So the trick here is to strike that right balance between checks and balances and not tying the place up in knots. And so that's, you know, I think that is actually a bit of a morale booster too, because to the extent people feel they're going to get their authority taken out from under them and some of these other kinds of things, that could be problematic. And so far I haven't seen, you know, a lot of concern about that.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Yuri Ling from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Your guidance in the MD&A says again that you're looking for roughly flat earnings in 12, but then I think it's a new addition to the text that you're targeting an improvement over last year. Is that incremental to the outlook, and if so, what's kind of changed to make you think that you I know you're obviously going to try to do better than last year, but you didn't state this last time around.
You're absolutely right that you picked up the nuance those were some new words. And you know, we've met with many of you over the quarter in one form or another, and at least not quarter, 6 weeks or whatever the hell it's been. And we said, or I said, that, you know, we were consciously not getting ahead of ourselves on our guidance for this year, and I think there was a little bit of healthy skepticism on the part of the analyst community that perhaps we were not being quite as aggressive as we could be. And we said we would look, and when we delivered the first quarter results, we'd have another 5 or 6 weeks worth of experience, and we'd have a better way, you know, better sense of where we're going. And what we've concluded out of that, and we did kind of recut the total company budget as part of the last 6 weeks' activity, and on that basis, you know, we're pushing the folks to outperform what was our original guidance. But, you know, the reality of it is that there's still, as we've all seen in the last little while, there still seem to be, you know, some issues coming out that have the potential to kind of slow us down, and so we just want to make sure that we don't get out ahead of ourselves at this point. And so having gone from a flat year-over-year to a flat year-over-year, but we're really trying to outperform, you know, the conference call in August will be, you know, just that much, we'll be just that much smarter in terms of what the rest of the year looks like.
And I guess it's just a matter of, you know, you've got a little bit better visibility having been in the saddle for a couple of weeks now, and you know, some new EVPs having time to maybe do a proper budget. Is that the right line of thinking? Okay. On the back page of your slide presentation, as you always do, you show the valuation of SNC against its peers and against some of its your closer comps. You know, you're trading at almost half the multiple of these other firms. I mean, how does the board feel about, you know, the stock price here, and what's being talked about in terms of surfacing value here, whether it be, you know, a major buyback, or, you know, are there potential dispositions that could be done, or, you know, what's the chatter on the board with the stock price where it is?
Well, apropos your first question, the board's not very happy with the state of the price of the stock. With respect to your second question, our view, and we did talk a lot about that, you know, both yesterday and today in our various committee and board meetings, that we firmly believe that if over the next couple of quarters we continue to deliver the projects on time, on budget, that we continue to grow the backlog, that the share price will take care of itself. I mean, the reality is we have taken a hit on the share price because of some of the headlines and some of the reputation issues, and we need to demonstrate to everybody that the core of the business is strong, and as long as we do that, I think the share price is going to come back. I, for one, notwithstanding my sort of background as a CFO and so forth, I, for one, am not a fan of financial engineering as a way to deal with the stock price, because I think the reality is you got to fix the substance of the business, and then the stock price will take care of itself.
Okay. Last quick one for me, guys. And again, I'm going to ask about GES Plus. One of your competitors that's also a member there seems to be inching closer to getting fully registered. Has your joint venture been registered in Saudi, and maybe an update on the timing of, if there is any update on GES Plus?
The JV has not been formally recognized registered in Saudi, and that's something that we are working with Andy on.
Any timing?
Nope. I mean, none that I'm prepared to disclose.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Paul Letchum from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My first question is on the concessions in the quarter, and the income from the concessions other than the 407 was around $10 million. I'm trying to square that away with AltaLink's published earnings for the quarter, which were closer to $23 million. So I wonder, Gilles, if you can walk us through maybe how those AltaLink earnings roll up into the income you receive in the other ICI segment.
For sure, when we compare, we exclude 407 and we look at the other stuff, AltaLink certainly shows better results compared to last year, and therefore on the basis that we have the same level of about the same level of net income from the other ICI being 10.6 compared to 10.4, it means that other did not perform as well. And this, I don't think it's troublesome, but there is some concession that have not been delivering that we are foreseeing that they will deliver more in the latter part of the year, in the second part of the year.
So if I'm reading you correctly, the other concessions, you actually recorded a loss of over $10 million in the quarter.
No, not a lot, because AltaLink here, again, when we're talking about 10.4 million, you need to see that for sure AltaLink is the box, so there's pluses and minus for the other one. But there is one in particular when we compare to last year that has not produced what we were expected. So
okay, but do you not wholly consolidate the AltaLink results? And because in the quarter, AltaLink had $23 million in net income. So I'm just trying to get the difference.
If we consider AltaLink, the impact of AltaLink, it's about $10.4 million for 2012.
Okay, well, maybe I can work this through offline with you then.
Sure.
In Q4, I believe you announced that there were about $20 million in losses from various problem contracts in the quarter. I was wondering if you can give us a magnitude of what those contracts might have cost you in Q1.
One in the hydrocarbons and chemical, as we had announced it in the last quarter on that project, the performance carry on and our forecast remains the same. And for
the forecast remains the same. Can you elaborate on that?
We are losing money on that project, and in that regard, we are continuing to forecast for the total project to lose the same amount of money. No more or no less. We kept the same forecast for in that first quarter as the progress went on that job. And the team went and reviewed the forecast. So there were no change on that. And the rest, I think we had touched the infrastructure and environment, and I would say, again, it was the same situation than hydrocarbons and chemical.
Okay, so when I look at the $2 million in operating income from infrastructure and environment, is the main contributor to that very low margin performance, is that this problem contract?
For Q1?
For Q1.
Q1, I would say into hydrocarbons and chemical at 5.5, considering the mix, is not a bad performance. So it's not due to that.
For the infrastructure division, though, the $2 million in operating income.
As we pointed out, I think it's a question of general and administrative expenses that we're having that are higher than the scope of the revenue that we're getting. And also, as pointed out before, it's a matter of the low percentage on certain infrastructure projects that we do have. So it's a combination of that, but principally it's because of higher gross margin. So the size of the activities compared to the overhead is not matching, and that is what's creating the challenges that we're living right now. On the other hand, there is two potential projects that we may sign into that shortly, being the Highway 47 and St. Justin Hospital, that will help on the margin side and also on the volume side.
Okay, but when I look at the margin performance on that, the 0.6% margin performance, it doesn't seem like anything close to a normalized margin. I look at the $2.7 billion in backlog you have in that division. Am I supposed to put a 0.6% margin on that $2.7 billion, or how should we think about the margin around your backlog in the environment?
I think if we're keeping on with the same level of activities and the same level of, I would say, overhead, it certainly will be a challenge for that segment. And that's what we had said before. That segment was a segment that was challenging.
Okay. Last question for me on the investigations that you've done and the turnover you had of the, well, I guess there was a CEO and two other individuals that either left or were let go. Was that the extent of the employees that you that left or you let go around these issues, or were there other people that have gone as a result of it?
That's it with respect to this item. There are a couple, you know, the Bangladesh activities are still underway, and there are a couple of people who are no longer with us who were involved in that activity.
So these issues that have come up were really they're attributable to three people in the organization. Okay. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Bert Powell from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Ian, you had said today in your prepared remarks at the AGM that you've talked to customers, they're staying with you. I'm just wondering, in terms of bidding today or relationships that you're cultivating today, are clients asking for additional things from you in terms of getting extra comfort? I don't know whether that's in the form of warranties and representations or indemnity agreements or whatever. Is that a factor in terms of going out and winning new business for SNC today?
They're asking for some additional comfort in some cases, and I've written some letters to people and so forth as circumstances require, but there's no indication that it's onerous I wouldn't characterize it as onerous, at least. And there's no indication that it has created a problem in terms of our ability to get those bids. In other words, the people to whom we have communicated some of these extra things seem quite happy with what we've told them.
Okay. And just now that we're getting into reporting season, and a number of your U.S. peers have reported, and they have talked about deferrals or large projects being pushed out a bit, and expectations for a softer second half. I'm just wondering, what you're seeing today. I know you seem pretty optimistic with respect to the prospects, but I'm just wondering if you're seeing any of the same things that maybe your brethren in the U.S. is seeing.
I think Jill might be better able to deal with that question, but my overall intuition, Bert, is that we're not seeing a lot of that.
To that effect, I think in the mining metallurgy, I think we're still seeing certain projects that we had worked on that could come to fruition, and so we're optimistic. That being said, in that segment, for sure, that the price of commodities has trended lower, and therefore there is cash restriction from the companies to invest into that sector. So it could have eventually an impact. However, that being said, there is some good prospect right now in the next 6 months that we're seeing favorably in that segment. Power, I think, we don't see any of, impact to that effect. We are having challenges in the hydrocarbons and chemical, and not because of the price of the commodity, but certainly in getting an increased amount of business. So this is a challenge area. And with regards to infrastructure and environment, we have some good projects ahead of us, and in particular, for example, on the transport side. But overall, we're confident about that segment as well. So,
and given the relative strength of Canada, have you seen or has the competitive landscape changed for you guys in terms of the bidding and the margins expectations in the market today?
I think it's same thing as we had discussed before. In particular in the infrastructure and environment being quite competitive. The other segment where it's requiring much more high-level expertise, not to say there's no competition, I would not point that out, but it's a different type of competition.
Okay. And last question, Gilles, just in terms of the AltaLink contribution to the power in the quarter, can you give us, I know you've disclosed the revenue, can you give us what that would have contributed in terms of the operating margin in the power segment in the quarter?
We are not disclosing that, however, and I think we're providing the revenue.
Yep, no, I got the revenue. I'm just trying to figure out if the margin is consistent with the group or better or worse from AltaLink.
We have never published that. The only positive I would like to comment on that, the additional news that you may all know, is the announcement that we've been selected to on a competitive basis to carry on doing project as our contract under our master service agreement was coming to an end at the end of April. So this is positive, but in terms of margin, we never disclosed the margin relating to the business with AltaLink.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from Pierre Lacroix for Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Just coming back on the booking, it's been a very busy quarter, and the quarter before was busy as well. And Gilles, you just mentioned that infrastructure and environment is very competitive business, and you're winning contracts in that business. What is the margin profile going forward on the backlog of this segment? Is it going to be weaker, or you know, any reason to believe that you are able to get back to historical margins in that segment?
It's a good question, Pierre, and as I was pointing out, it's competitive, which tends to bring down the margin, and therefore we need to be executing those projects very well. I think with Charles Schebel and Jim Burke undertaking those tasks, I think, and with really a very good collaboration that is getting more and more, I would say, within the ranks of the company, well, we're confident, but for sure the profile is one in Canada with lower percentage of gross margin to revenue on packages activities.
Okay, I see it. And in terms of your strategy there, are you kind of looking for more volume in order to offset the lower margin, so you're more aggressive as well on your bidding?
It's difficult to say. It's for sure it, when there is project of large magnitude, there is a temptation, if I could say, to be completely honest, to that effect, that a temptation that it's a, in terms of nominal value it can generate, that we may tend to go a bit lower than the, you know, high end of the 7 to 10% type of range we've been going at. So yes, there is that. However, that being said, I think as you know, more activities will take place. I think it, hopefully, it's going to be going back to more the 10% type of bidding activities on those infrastructure and development projects.
And Pierre, Thien, going around the board table, for example, there is no enthusiasm to go chasing revenue at the expense of margin.
Okay, that's good details. I wanted also to have some perspective on prospect, because you were talking last year about getting into the U.S. market, infrastructure market, and then last week we saw you guys kind of making the short list for very large contracts. So maybe you can give us some update on what is your U.S. strategy and has that changed significantly over the last few years?
In the past, we, in terms of, it's not as much as getting into the pure play engineering and construction field, but more going through the concession that requires an expertise that we have developed over the last few years, if I could say. And that being said, I would say that it's in through that means that we want to penetrate the U.S. So it's positive news. But it's just a qualification at this stage, but certainly it's a strategy that we're looking at bringing on our concession, our engineering and construction expertise, and partnering up with a good partner in the U.S. as well.
And what is the outlook there? Do you have a lot of bids going on in the U.S. that we don't know yet, but we might have news about that in the next few months?
I think it's still early stage. We're, you know, I think it's a sector, the concession segment in the U.S., we believe it's a segment that will be growing. So we want to try to position ourselves. We have a good, it's a good start qualifying, but it's certainly something too premature to start to say, you know, you can trust on where we will get some few concessions, but we're working on it for sure.
Okay, and And on AltaLink, you mentioned that you were awarded the five-year deal there. I don't know if you can provide more more details in terms of the outlook, because we all know that AltaLink will have significant spendings over the next couple of years. So what is the scope of your work and versus what AltaLink has to perform as growth projects?
I think it's, first of all, we'll go on the mandate we'll be getting and the permitting and licensing that AltaLink will get to go ahead on projects. So it's too early to start to say how much backlog we have and what is the anticipation for that five-year contract. So it's going to go in sync with certainly the permitting and licensing that AltaLink will go ahead. And so there's nothing more I could add to that.
Okay, in terms of profitability of this contract, given the fact that it was a bidding, an open bid process, can we expect the same kind of profitability that you had in the past?
I think the only consideration, there will be some adjustment to it, and there will be some risk-reward type of concept attached to it compared to a bit less than in the past. Now the contract will be much more on a risk-reward type of approach.
And Karatheon, you might just remember that, you know, the regulator in Alberta has been scrutinizing some of this stuff, so it's not like this is, you know, sort of wasn't a whole sort of open field, you know, kind of a situation that's now converted to something else. As Jill says, there's, you know, a little bit of a different structure there in terms of how some of the margins are going to be earned, but fundamentally, you know, this has been not market pricing in the conventional sense of a competition, but if the regulator wasn't happy with the way stuff was getting done, we would have heard about it. And the other thing I would add, particularly being a local, that the election last week of Alison Redford and the Conservatives is good news because, you know, we're going to drive on in Alberta with some of these power projects, whereas, you know, if the Wild Rose had got in, some of that stuff might have gone back to the drawing board. So this is good news.
Yeah, okay. And one last question on AECL and the nuclear opportunity. Can you maybe update us on the outlook you have there in terms of the bidding prospects that you are working on right now? Because those projects are typically very large when they come. So are you working on anything big on the AECL side? And also while commenting on the AECL, maybe you can maybe have a comment on I understand that there's some labor negotiations over there.
Yeah, maybe I'll talk to the labor negotiations and Jill can talk about the prospects a bit. You know, when that acquisition was made, you know, there was a sort of a recognition on all sides that the labor situation was going to become a factor as we went forward, and it is. And so, you know, they're, as I understand it, taking a strike vote here, and, you know, we'll see what comes out of it, and we'll see where we go from here. But, you know, in the short term, you know, we're putting some plans in place to deal with these things.
In terms of prospect, for sure, we're looking into internationally. There's some large one. Romania is one area that we're looking at. And as you've seen the announcement on the Darlington retubing, this is a phase one, and so there could be some more phase to come. So I think the team are working hard to carry on and get some new jobs coming in. And it was good news in this first quarter to see the Darlington retube project phase one getting into our backlog.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Frederic Bastien from Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon. Two quick questions from me. The first one is on the projects that are suffering from cost overruns in the hydrocarbons and infrastructure segments. When are these projects scheduled to be complete?
Past 2013, late 2012.
Okay, so these are sort of halfway through completion right now, roughly?
Oh.
Okay. Okay, also, we don't often talk about the other industry segment, but the margins you achieve in the quarter were a bit lower than you've averaged over the last several years. Can you provide a bit more color on what might have impacted the results there?
It's a smaller type of segment. It takes, you know, on a larger type of package projects. It's just a matter of cost forecast, and we've seen over the last years, I think, was other industry got to be pretty good performer, and it's just a matter of cost forecast given the size of the activities being lowered compared to our four main segment of activities in the engineering and construction segments.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
And as there is no more time for questions, I will now turn it over to Mr. Jasmin.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Very sorry about the technical difficulties that we had this afternoon. If you have any more questions, you can contact me. Have a good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for participating. Please disconnect your lines.